never filtered, always fun.
I think I saw Lou give Bobby Orr a hug. I'm like, you're an agent now.
Well, you can still hug a legend. Right, Lou's not allowed to show public display of affection.
Does he ever?
Never.
I'll bet you he would have been rattled if that got on TV.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Craig Button, Steve Mariucci from the NFL Network on what happened with Brady and the Pats last night. Is a door open for Antonio Brown to win the MVP? Should the Packers be playing Rodgers this weekend? No decision has been made yet, but if they win out and they get some help, they can still make the playoffs, and the NFC without Carson Wentz might be up for grabs. Get to Steve Mariucci around 5:30. Ray's coming up here in a moment. The Leafs are in Philly. You can watch the game on TSN4. Ray Ferraro, of course, will be in between the benches. I assume in between the benches. Some rinks you can't be in between the benches, but if he is tonight...
He'll have to saddle up beside Rob Ray.
No, it's not Rob Ray. It's... Who is it in Philly? It's
Chris Therrien.
I was thinking of Noodles in Buffalo.
Noodles is in Buffalo right beside Rob Ray tonight. That would be terrifying.
There must actually be like a nervous energy as like... Because Noodles is like the Sens guy. Him and CC do a lot of the Sens games. It's like, come on, guys, don't make me talk about a disaster tonight. I wouldn't want to do that. I don't like doing it between periods.
You know what, Jeff? I'm with you 100%. It's like you sit there and you go, no,
don't make me do this game. Although you had to do a game where the guy lost his voice.
Yeah.
What the hell was that like?
You know what? Honestly, I'm not a play-by-play guy, so I just commented on the game. I had the thought bubbles going.
I would have just sent an email to the director, producer, whatever, saying, go to the radio feed. We're taking the night off.
I don't think we had a radio feed. Oh, no, there's we must have. No, we did. We did. Yeah, we did.
I'm not sure who would have had the radio.
No, we did. Montreal did, yeah. TSN 690 had it, but...
Here's Sergio Mimesso and somebody else. Take it away, fellas. Because he literally couldn't talk.
No, he couldn't.
I remember watching that. I felt bad. It was John Bartlett.
Yeah.
Like, let's just acknowledge the elephant in the room. And
you've been going to a lot of elephants in the room.
I've dropped that a couple times already today.
Numerous times this year. You've been dropping that bomb.
Did you go to the circus as a kid?
A lot.
No.
No.
No, I didn't. I didn't really go to the zoo or anything.
Yeah.
I was never around elephants. Yeah. There's no reason for it, but I do appreciate that line.
Yeah, it is a good line.
It's a really good line. Like, it's a line that I think everyone's heard before. Would you say that? Like, 100% of society has heard the term, the elephant in the room?
You have to think that everybody's heard about it. And it's so telling. It's a great comment. Like, how do you miss the elephant?
There's an elephant in there. Yeah. There's literally an elephant in here, so let's just acknowledge it. Anyway, I think it's Gord who's calling the game with Ray tonight, and by all accounts, his voice is good, so he'll be calling it, but Austin Matthews will not be playing tonight. The Leafs are 5-0 without him in the lineup. That is bound to come to an end. I was watching Leafs Lunch today, and Dregs and Pierre and Mike Weaver were on there, and there is some underlying concern about the way the Leafs have been playing recently, even though they're winning games.
A lot of shots against... Blowing leads.
Like, how much... You can't rely on Freddie Anderson to just be brilliant every single night.
Well, he is the X factor. Because when his play tails off, then you're going to see some losses mount, and it's going to be like, okay, gentlemen, what the hell are we doing here?
I watched Dominic Hasek do it for a long time.
Did he ever do it?
You think Freddie Anderson is Dominic Hasek?
No, but we all sit there and go, we can't do it. Well, Dominic Hasek did it for 7 years. I mean, I go back all
that
the time.
That team in Buffalo literally had no business having any kind of record that they did.
They didn't, Jeff. And I mean, yeah.
As much as I like Mike Pekka, he's one of my best friends, he was their number one centerman. And Jason Daw and Michael Groshek. And
they beat the Leafs in the conference final in 99.
Without Hasek. Rolison went in the net.
That's right. James Patrick was on the blue line. And Jay McKee.
Teppo Numanen. And guys were just, it was like, what?
Well, I'm telling you, he was a difference maker.
And Noodle says he was the greatest. He doesn't care about anybody other goaltender. He was the greatest of all time.
He could flat out win the game for you. It was scary.
Won them a gold medal, didn't he?
But did I ever tell you what Bob Clark, just real quick, Bob Clark said? He goes, the Buffalo Sabres with Hasek, he said they're the only team in the league that when they score a goal, they start high-fiving on the bench because they know with Hasek in the net, they're guaranteed at least a point.
Probably over. Or you're getting overtime anyway.
Well, that's scary to think that.
Here's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial.
Ray, I know you do color, I know you do radio, but in the spirit of the Ottawa Senators submitting a list, what are two things at TSN you would not do? We can maybe go around the horn.
What do you mean, I would not do?
Yeah, like teams you would, like, would you not do SportsCenter hosts? Would you not?
I think my days of the 6 a.m. start are over. I think that would be on my no-trade list, my no-do list.
Yeah.
Listening to any extra Quizmaster meeting.
I think that might be number one on my list.
I think we all had that one.
No, I'm telling him you guys said that.
One of my favorite things that I've ever seen happen was in his old office right on the corner out past where the studios are for you guys. Darren Pang was in. We were doing, I don't know what we were doing, and the Quizmaster had gone out to get a drink. And so we went in and broke all his pencils and put them neatly back into his drawer and sat in the back like a couple of seven-year-olds to watch him just be infuriated that there was no pencil to write with.
Hazy, what would you not do at this building?
It's so mature. It's just such a ridiculously immature thing.
Didn't you hide the pencil sharpener too, Ray?
Well, we took the bottom end of it.
Yeah.
Like the bottom end where you collect all the sharpness. Oh, yeah. I just love that stuff. It's so me.
What would you not do, Hazy?
I don't know, man. That's a good question. What would I not do?
I couldn't do Kara's job because I need, if I'm like just out of it, I need someone to look at where you're like, save me.
Yeah, like a solo SportsCenter host would be tough. Like just being dropped into that without any prep. Like you're up in 5 minutes, you have to go. I've never done play-by-play. I feel like I would just chew my tongue off. And
we tried it in London at the rookie tournament 1 year.
It was brutal.
Awful.
Yeah, really awful and horrible.
Me? One up, one down. I have so much appreciation for what Ray and Jamie do, being down on the ice. But I've always watched the game from up above.
Oh, you don't like being, you wouldn't want to be in between the benches?
I'm just saying, that would be the one that I think.
I see.
It would be daunting for me.
Did you guys hear what happened to Brian Hayward last night?
No.
He was doing the game.
The guy smashed his stick and broke his monitor.
Justin Falk was sour, and he smashed his stick on the boards and smashed his iPad in half.
Ooh.
That's a tough one to come back from.
Yeah, that one stinks.
That'll teach you. Don't bring any technology down there. Bad news.
Well, you just phrased the no trade list as no-do list, and it actually made me think, like, this whole Carlson stuff, if you're not familiar, Carlson acknowledged today, the elephant in the room, that he did hand in his 10-team no-trade list to Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Sens. But that's being such, like, it's such a diplomatic way of phrasing it. Shouldn't it be more, like, in no way in hell am I going to that team. These are 10 teams that I will never sway on. Don't talk to me about it. I hate them. I hate the city. I hate the rink. And I'm not going there. Like, wouldn't that be more exciting if they phrased it a little bit differently?
Yeah, it would be tough to put on the top of the paper, though.
It would.
No trade is much easier.
Right.
Here's what I understand. I ran into an executive today and was talking to him about this no trade stuff. And most teams, this is a clerical thing, he was explaining, that they do in September, like before the season. That it's kind of updated because it's in your contract. If you've got a five-year contract, it's in it 5 years in a row, and it gets updated in September. So this is a little different. If they just went to them now, you know, say your name had been connected to three or four cities via rumors. Would you not just update them if you didn't like those teams and say, those teams.
Right.
I don't want to go there. So I found it interesting that maybe, you know, maybe this stuff is done or was done prior to the season, but if it was done just recently, it seems more than a little bit awkward.
Yeah, I was told it was done recently.
Which is goofy, isn't it?
Oh, man, can you imagine what that locker room is like right now? Well, hey, what team, which 10 teams did you put on? Hey, which 5 did you have on?
But if you're doing
why would you talk about anything else?
But when you're asked by the management.
Is it like a slap on the wrist? Is it saying, you guys are so bad, I want to know the teams right now? Like, I don't know what the hell message that is.
It's not a good message. So let me ask you this, and I'll put it out to Ray and to Brian and to Jeff. You know, it was a sad day when Brian Murray died, but they are really missing the experience and the wisdom of Brian Murray, I think, in Ottawa. Do you guys agree?
I do.
Go ahead, Ray.
Sorry, Jeff. I do, because the ability to bounce something off experience, even if you've got to make that final decision, is probably invaluable in the manager's chair. I mean, you sat there, Craig.
It is invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure there are days when you've got a stack of decisions to make, and each one is more important than the last. But right now, given where Ottawa is, how does this team possibly come back from this? I mean, it's already virtually impossible to dig out of the hole they're in. But how would you come back from this?
Well, and that's,
I don't get it.
Yeah, and that's the hard thing. Do you know Al McNeil, Ray?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and so, I mean, Al was in Calgary and I was there, and he used to be great. So you'd come up with an idea and you'd talk about it, and then Al would inevitably take you back to the 70s with Montreal or the early 80s with Calgary, and he'd tell you about what went wrong. You go, yeah, okay, we're not doing that. That was the wisdom. That was the experience that he just told you, we were there. Here's what happened during this time. And you go, okay, got it.
But the thing is, I guess to be fair to Pierre Dorion, even if Brian Murray were there, or anybody, you move Lamorello there or Rutherford there, any longstanding GM, the owner is still the owner.
But Brian Murray could say, listen, this is not the time to go and ask players for no trade or where they'd like to go.
Right.
And he could tell the owner that.
But if the owner says thank you for that.
This should have been done in September.
Yeah, absolutely, Ray.
If that is a way that it is done, it's updated every September. Then you never have to ask anybody.
Well, I was going to say, aren't these things put on paper when the contract is signed and you already know the answers?
But they can be updated all the time. It's worded in a way that says, you know, by such and such a date every year, it might be July 15th, it might be September 1st, you have to update it. I mean, there's some in there that say, listen, you can change it, you know what, you know, 4 times during the year if you want to change your list, and you have to ask.
There's also a clause in some, apparently, that says by request.
Yeah.
So that there isn't necessarily a date, September 1st. It could be that the team could request that list at any time. Right. So I guess that would protect them in front of the trade deadline, for example. Right.
And it just says you have to provide 10 teams. You might not even provide the 10 teams, but when you ask for it, you go, okay, who are the 10 teams? I need it now.
Well, do any of us really think Erik Karlsson's getting traded between now and the trade deadline?
I think they have to do some honest assessment and stop thinking that you're going to keep this guy. If the owner decides the money's going to be too steep, they already have a ballpark idea what the price is going to be. We're talking about a guy that was regarded as the third best player in the league. So we all know the general number, whether it's 11, 12, more than that. If you can't make it work, you got to move him and stop pretending. Stop lying to the fan base and try to move on.
But I would say our experience over the last few years is any significant trades of that nature, they're around the draft. They're not now. Like, who's going to destroy their team right now to make a deal that you would have to make for Karlsson? And when I say destroy, I mean completely uproot what you're doing for a player of Karlsson's stature. And if you're the Senators, why would you take anything that would fluctuate as much as a draft pick could between now and the end of the year? Is that team going to draft 6th or 17th? You don't know. So that one I don't see. But Hoffman, Pajo, Cece. Who are the other names we're hearing around?
Well, Phaneuf if he waived, but that's such a big ticket.
Yeah,
who's
but
taking
that's
that
too
on?
Long. Zach Smith. Like, those are the guys I think that are most likely. Luke Robitaille told me this great line one time. We were at the trade deadline, and I said, are you worried about being traded? And we were riding the bike in the dressing room in L.A., and he says, I got a no trade. I said, really? And he said, because there was not many back then. He said, yeah, 13 goals, $3.5 million, no trade.
Right.
And so Bobby Ryan is not available for trade. He's got one goal, and he's got 5 years at $7 million left.
Well,
no trade.
Let me ask you this. Hypothetically, do you think Matt Duchene would be available for trade? Do you think any other team in the league would call them up and say, I'll take that?
Man, could you imagine how you would have to swallow? Oh, you would have to swallow hard your ego to even consider that deal. I would say no.
Imagine
he's not
that.
Going anywhere right
he
now.
Just got dealt like a month ago.
Yeah, for like the guy they were dying to get, and now they're like, probably can't get rid of this guy.
You couldn't get rid of him a month later.
So I'm gonna.
That's nuts.
I'm just gonna pose it, Ray. And the first thing I look at with Carlson is cap space. And mm-hmm. The team I'm looking at is New Jersey. Lots of cap space and some good young players. So Damon Severson is signed long term. They have Michael McLeod. They have Pavel Zacha. Is that a place where you, if you're Ray Shero and the New Jersey Devils, you start saying to the, like, I'm phoning Ottawa if I'm Ray Shero and I'm proposing something and... Those are three guys that I'd be moving real quick.
You go ahead. I would say that's a nice proposal, Craig. We'll start with Hischier, please.
You have to. If you're talking about Erik Karlsson.
Okay, that's fine, though. But I'm just telling you what I'm doing. Like, I'm just you can. You're not. I'm not trading Hischier for Karlsson. But I'll give him four players.
I'll take your call, sure.
Yeah.
And you can offer. You know, I think Michael McLeod might be a decent, like a. Better than average prospect, but I don't know yet. We don't know. How would anybody know?
No, I agree.
Damon Severson, he's signed, I think, at $4.5 million for the next 5 years. I'm interested in him. Nice player. Nice young player. We're not even in the ballpark.
Yeah, but if you're a team that can't sign Karlsson, who's in the ballpark?
Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting until the draft and say, Ray, we'll visit this in the summer.
Okay.
We'll talk about your first-round draft choice, depending on where that is. I'm going to wait to see if the cap goes up to $80 million. That might open up some more teams.
Yep.
Lou Lamoriello's great line. I think it's really one of the best. Is if you've got time, use it. They have time with Karlsson. With the other guys, I don't know.
And you know what? That's a fair – I think that's a really – You know, if you have Karlsson that level of player, you want more teams in it, not less.
Yeah, this can't be a Joe Thornton trade from Boston to San Jose when half the league didn't know he was available.
Yeah, good comparison. And you make a really good point, Ray, about the cap going up, because that brings a lot of other teams into it.
They're because the cap going up, the thing we love, of course, is when there's player movement, that will open... I think open the book to some moves that just wouldn't be possible. I think there's a chance that it's a real interesting draft summer sort of thing.
I hope so, because you know where I stand on this. I mean, I've been saying this for years. I think this is on the desk of the commissioner to try to generate as much player movement as possible, because I think it's smart for business. And if you look at the NBA right now, maybe it's a coincidence, but I don't think it is. Their ratings have been absolutely surging the first 2 months of the of the new season. And I think it's in large part because they just had the craziest offseason I've ever witnessed a pro sports team go through. I wanted to see Chris Paul in Houston. I wanted to see what Oklahoma City was going to be all about. I wanted to see what the Celtics were going to be. I wanted to see how Cleveland was going to react after losing Kyrie Irving. And their ratings are through the roof. And I think that's smart for business. I don't know how you would orchestrate this into your CBA.
I'll tell you how you orchestrate it. It's real simple. And Adam Silver really did a great job on it. He got a massive TV deal, and the cap went massively up.
Mm.
So that forced a lot of movement. That's the only thing that can happen. That's the only thing Gary can do.
Craig, here's the one thing I would like to see happen, is that in exchange for maybe length of contract shortening, I would love to see, you've got your salary cap, whatever the number is. I'd love to see that each team could take 10% of that cap and exceed the cap on a franchise player. And so if you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you want to, you got 10%. And so you have, Chicago might franchise Jonathan Taves or Patrick Kane. That comes outside the cap because they have the revenues to go ahead and spend another way. I think that can loosen how tightly everybody is stuck with the players they have.
I like that type of thinking. I do. I think that's creative. But
they always seem to have a history of worrying about what the owner in Arizona would say about that, or Florida, or Dallas, or Anaheim. You know, this has been a league that I think has capitulated to the lower end of owners as opposed to the higher end. I think the hard salary cap's a perfect example of that.
Last year, there were times that Arizona had more money on LTI, Pronger and Datsyuk, than they did on the ice.
Right.
Could you own a team in certain situations with, like, Legos? That can't be the way. You're right. They do protect them. That's just the way it is, I guess. But it doesn't seem right.
Well, again, the fans are the ones, I think, that end up getting the short end of the stick. I think fans want player movement. They want an exciting offseason. Yep. It's got to be the NFL taught us this for the longest time. The NFL, they barely play games. When you really think about it, how many days of the calendar year are they actually playing? But it's a 12-month business because there's always conversations about player movement and the draft, and coaches are being turned over year in, year out, and GMs are being turned over year in, year out. And it's got to be a 12-month business.
So quickly to Brian and you, Ray. What has the franchise tag in the NFL done? Has that created some movement for other players? Because now you got a franchise to keep that player and get him, that frees up the other players. That's what you're thinking about, right? You get to keep your best player, your franchise in, right. Other players free up, right?
Right. You take him out, you take his salary out, that frees up cap room for the rest of your roster. And so you throw a tag on the player, he becomes outside your cap, and essentially gives you more cap room to manipulate your roster, i.e. make trades and help create interest. I mean, there's nothing wrong with interest. Interest is good.
Water cooler material is always a good thing. It's always a good thing. All right, buddy. Well, enjoy it tonight. No Matthews. I mean, the Leafs are 5-0 without him, so I guess they have to be feeling pretty good, but...
They, I'm sure they do, but did Babs basically say today, buzz off, I'm not telling you if he's got a concussion or not?
Exactly, which I think is just so, and this is has nothing to do just with the Leafs. I would like to see everyone just be honest and let's act like adults here.
Yeah, like he basically, when he said, I don't know about that, there is nothing that goes on with this team that he doesn't know about.
Of course not. Of course not. He knows. And listen, hopefully it's not a concussion. Hopefully it's a wrist or it's a shoulder or I don't know. But if it is a concussion, then I don't think that's the kind of injury you should be playing coy about. But that's the world we live in the NHL. They don't have to reveal anything, so they don't.
You know what he said? You know, day-to-day means 10 days, so we'll see in 10 days, but it could be day-to-day.
Yeah. Or he's playing on Thursday in Minnesota. Who the hell knows? I mean, you really don't know. And especially with this organization, you can't pry anything out of them.
No, not happening.
No. Anyway, enjoy tonight. We'll catch you on TSN 4.
Later.
All right. Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Leafs Flyers on TSN 4 tonight. Again, no Matthews. Sounds as if, looks as if Marlow will move to the center of the ice. So William Nylander back to the wing. And we'll chat about that throughout the afternoon. The Leafs, one of the hottest teams in the NHL. Philly, it was ugly there for a while, but they've bounced back. They're playing a lot better. Steve Mariucci will join us, the former head coach of the Lions and other teams, longtime NFL coach and executive, current NFL analyst on the NFL Network. Just seeing on SportsCenter the way Belichick was handling the media postgame last night. Very Belichickian.
That's kind of ignorant, though. I've seen him after he wins a Super Bowl, he'll sit down with Chris Berman and the guys on ESPN, and He's got great insight. He's fun, but I don't think that's necessary. As much as Daryl Sutter was funny, I didn't think that was very... I mean...
Popovich, the same thing. They just...
It's like, really?
Yeah. Like, why do you have
We pump your tires when you're awesome. Can you not just throw us a bone when things are a little bit off?
I know. He just looks down to everybody. He is so... They're so arrogant, but they win. So, what are you going to do? No one's running him out of New England.
No, sir.
So we'll get Mariucci on here, his take on the MVP race, this upcoming game this weekend in Pittsburgh between the Steelers and the Pats, and do the Eagles have any shot at doing anything in the playoffs without Carson Wentz? We'll get to that next. Winter meetings continuing down in Orlando. Our main man, Steve Phillips, will join us in about a half an hour. Get his take on how quiet it's been so far. Not a lot going on. Obviously, the Yankees stole the thunder of the whole league over the weekend with Giancarlo Stanton and that acquisition.
They made more moves today, didn't they?
Clearing money so that they can potentially improve that much more.
Isn't there talk of Machado's being shopped right now?
Yeah, Dan Duquette, I guess, even admitted to that, the GM of the Orioles. He's like, yeah, we're working pretty hard on this Machado stuff. What, signing him long-term? He's your best player. What the hell are you trying to do?
Yeah.
If he gets dealt to Boston or to the Yankees, look out. Here in Toronto, look out.
Well, they've been talking about, like, that free agency of 2019.
Bryce Harper, Machado. Some big names. Last night was, I got to give it up to Jay Cutler. I have to give it up to Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins. They outperformed Brady and the Pats. It doesn't mean anything. The Pats are still a great team. I could see them rolling into Pittsburgh and winning this weekend. And to chat about that, we're joined now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Longtime coach in the NFL. Longtime NFL Network analyst. Here is Steve Mariucci. How you doing, Steve?
Guys, I'm doing great. Yeah, did you watch that game last night?
Oh,
crazy,
yeah.
Huh?
Painful for me.
Yeah, O's a Pats fan.
You're a Pats fan?
Yeah, it was tough to
Tom
watch.
Brady was, 7-8 in Miami, and he's like he's jinxed in that place. And now he's 7-9, and it was, I don't want to say it was a beatdown, but it was a very convincing win by the Miami Dolphins. And you're right, I heard you before I came on, Jay Cutler just lit it up, didn't he?
Do you think he's done enough? I've been asking this question for like 7 or 8 years. Has Cutler done enough to get a team to sign him or try to bring him back next year?
I don't know if he wants to. I mean, what did they pay him? $10 million in incentives and to get him out of the booth? He was going to be, like Tony Romo. I think Tony Romo was doing a heck of a job for CBS. But, Ryan Tannehill's got a big contract. I know Adam Gase likes Ryan Tannehill. And so... I don't know if he's going to choose Cutler over Tannehill. I think Cutler will be a free agent, and he's got to determine, does he still love playing? He sure made all the throws last night, didn't he? He did. He played one of his better games that we've seen in years by the guy. But he's been inconsistent, and so that's been his nick. And sometimes he's on a losing team, he looks a little disinterested. But, man, he was the... Last night, he was the better quarterback.
Couple of questions for you, Steve. Number one, it seems that when the Patriots face a team that can put pressure with their front four, that really causes some problems for Tom Brady more than any other.
Yeah.
And then my second part of that is, how legitimate is Jacksonville in that regard?
Okay, you're absolutely right. And if you try to blitz Tom Brady, he's so good. And their system is so clever with hots and adjustments and answers to your blitzes that he's been very good against the blitz. And then you're covering, you might be in man coverage, and if you miss a tackle in man coverage, the guy's off and running. And so last night, though, with Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake and the boys, you're right, they rushed four, they had pressure, they won in the trenches. And now Tom Brady is thrown against seven guys in coverage. And, and he threw up some 50-50 balls, right? He couldn't get the ball to Brandon Cooks, his speed guy. And, you know, you're talking about playing great coverage over there. Xavier Howard, number 25, had a couple interceptions. Those are 50-50 balls, which means, hey, you know, you're going to throw it up for grabs, and typically a taller receiver wins that battle, okay? And the worst thing that should happen is an incomplete pass. Well, Howard came down with two of them, two interceptions before Tom threw a touchdown, and so that was the difference in the game, and it was Cutler's play. It was the pass rush by Miami. It was the inability to get the ball to the receivers for the Patriots. They missed Gronk. You saw when he got suspended, he speared that guy needlessly, and they really missed him last night. And so, you know, this Patriots got to be better because they're going into Pittsburgh next week, and Pittsburgh's no slouch.
What was that onside kick at the end? Did you ever see anything like that? I thought it was being punked or something.
I used to coach special teams, about four different places. And so that's, you know, middle onside kick. And you kind of look at it, and if they're all bunched up like you do, like you are, then you probably don't do that. But if they're scattered a little bit and they're spread out a little bit, I got 10 guys, actually 11, if you include the kicker, that are going to try to get this ball and knock you out of the way and maybe get it. Well, he didn't kick it far enough. He didn't kick it far enough. And so it was pretty bizarre. It looked kind of silly once if you don't get it, right? But that game came down. You know, you knew they were just going to, when it was a 17-point game, what was it, 27-10?
Mm-hmm.
You just knew Tom Brady was never going to be out of that game, right? And sure enough, it came down to an onside kick. But anyway, Miami deserved to win that game. They were the better team on the field last night, no doubt.
With NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci, you mentioned the big game this weekend, Steelers at home against the Pats, and there's a lot of people believing that this is also a battle of the two lead kind of front runners for the MVP now that Carson Wentz is injured. Do you believe that we could see Antonio Brown win the MVP and become the first wide receiver to ever do that?
That would be something. I mean, we've all seen out here in San Francisco, Jerry Rice didn't win it, you know, and how many great years did he have? But what happens is if a receiver has a good year, then you say, well, he must have a good quarterback. And typically the quarterback will win it. I mean, Ben threw for 500 yards, right? And talk about triplets. We all know about the Dallas Cowboy triplets with Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman. Well, Pittsburgh has their version of the triplets with Lev Bell and right from right there at Michigan State, and then Antonio Brown and Ben. Ben is just out of his mind right now. 500 yards passing. He and Tom Brady have the most passing yards in the league right now. Will be a heck of a game because Pittsburgh's defense is really, really missing Ryan Shazier. That's a terrible injury. We hope to God and pray that he will walk again someday. He's out for the year, and he may never play football again, but we're all hoping that he'll get movement in his legs and be able to walk. And they missed him. His backup is hurt. And so their defense is not as good as it was. It's like the Dallas Cowboys when they miss Sean Lee. They luse if he's not playing. Or Luke Kuechly at Carolina. They really miss those signal callers on defense. And that's what Ryan Shazier was. He was their quarterback on defense. They really miss him. So Tom Brady will get Gronk back and probably have some good success attacking those linebackers and safeties.
Well, you talk about missing out on a player. Philadelphia is in mourning the past couple of days with Carson Wentz done for the year, tearing his ACL. And, yeah. I mean, they've been a great team. I think they've been the prohibitive favorite in the NFC almost from the start of the season. Yeah. But I just can't picture them doing anything here.
Are you going to ask my question,
you
Brian?
You know what? Nick Foles is not chopped liver. Now, he's been in the league. He's not a rookie. He's not a baby. Like, some of these teams are playing with backups that are just youngsters. And, you know, and it's hard to win with the rookies and first and second year players. Nick Foles has been around the block. Heck, he had 1 year in Philly with 27 touchdown passes and only two interceptions. That's amazing. So at least he's played well before. He's been there with Doug Peterson for 2 years in Philly. He was with Doug Peterson in Kansas City. So he knows the system there. He knows the system as well or better than Carson Wentz. So, you know, if they can just keep him from messing it up, if throwing picks and fumbling and those sort of turnovers, I think they can win games with Nick Foles. They have a great defense. They're balanced. They don't really rely on the quarterback as much, even though Carson Wentz has 33 touchdown passes. They do have some balance to their offense. attack. You know what really impressed me with Carson Wentz, and he's such a great kid. And he's playing against the Rams, Jared Goff, one of his dear friends. They have the same agent. They train together, the whole thing. And they won two in the draft. It was quite a game, and it's quite a story, actually. But when Carson Wentz got hurt, you know, he scrambled around because he's an athletic guy. He's a big guy, 6'5", 240, but he's an athletic guy. He hurts his ACL, and it gets called back, and he's back in the huddle, and he has to stay, and he stays in the game. And he stands in there under duress and throws a touchdown pass with a blown-out knee. And so he was an impressive kid with character, but he really showed some toughness, you know, hanging in there and taking the touchdown throw. And then he came out of the game and went up the tunnel, and they decided it's a bad injury.
Steve, is the NFL summit coming up on how to protect their quarterbacks? Wentz is now gone. If you look at the number of quality guys that have gone down this year, and it's the quarterback league, they're the ones that everybody wants to see, and they move the needle as far as the product in the NFL. Is it coming now? How do we protect these guys so they stay in the game?
Well, we've been doing it for years. You know, when I was back in Green Bay coaching Brett Favre, back then even, and that's not too long ago, you know, these guys would get hit in the head. They'd get hit in the knees in the pocket. They would be scrambling outside the pocket and get crushed out there. You know, you didn't have the rules where you could throw the ball away like we do now. So we are making rules to protect the quarterback. And I liken the quarterback to like an endangered species. I mean, we don't have enough good ones to fill every team. We just don't. There might be 15 to 18 franchise quarterbacks walking the face of the earth. And so we've got to find a way to protect them so the Andrew Lucks and the Aaron Rodgers and these kinds of guys don't get hurt. You know, we get criticism from some macho men that say, hey, well, put a skirt on them, or, you know, some stupid comments about the game's getting too soft. But when the premier quarterbacks are out, the game suffers, that team suffers, obviously. Attendance will suffer. But the viewing audience will suffer. When they travel, that attendance will suffer. I mean, when the marquee quarterbacks are not playing, it's a different ball game all the way around for everybody. And so we do, like you said, we do need to continually change the rules or alter things where the quarterback can be protected and maybe throw the ball away even when he's in the pocket to avoid the big hit, the big sack. I don't know what the answer is, but they're just hard to find.
Here's a quick one for you, Steve. Your buddy Tom Izzo with Michigan State, how are they looking this year in the NCAA? They're ranked pretty high.
And you got Duke number one, who beat Izzo in the beginning there. They just got beat by Boston College, an unranked team. And then Kansas, who was number two, just has been beaten twice. So this is going to be fun. What I like about college basketball these days is they've made November very important with all these tournaments that they're playing. The good teams are playing the good teams, and it's in the Big Ten against the ACC, and there's a lot of really compelling matchups early in the season, and now they're all into their conference, and they're, you know, that kind of thing before we get into March Madness. But no, Tom Izzo's got a heck of a team over there. He really likes his team because they're good kids. They take coaching, and he coaches hard, as you know, and it'll just take them one at a time. You know, let's not get too far out in front of our skis here, but they have a nice team. If they stay healthy, that's certainly a Final Four team.
We'll hold you to that. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There he is.
Thanks,
Steve Mariucci, a longtime NFL coach and NFL Network analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. From now until December 23rd, when you purchase any used vehicle, you'll receive a $500 prepaid Visa upon delivery. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland. Steve Phillips, Bob McKenzie in the final hour. Leafs game night tonight. Some news coming out of the winter meetings as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. On Friday, come up with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see Toronto take on San Jose January 4th at the ACC. Also, for the next few weeks leading up to the holidays, our winner will take home one full case of 2017-2018 Upper Deck Series 1 Team Triple Collectible Hockey Cards. The theme this week is former Leafs who played with Patrick Marleau. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day, Al Iafredi.
One of your personal favorites.
I love Al Iafredi.
Yeah, you do.
So when do they have to phone in with the can we give them hints?
You can. I mean, there's probably been a lot over the years that would have played with Marleau. He was in San Jose for, what, 18 years?
Well, Olin Nolan.
Alan McCauley, probably. Yeah. Trying to think of other guys.
Vesa Toskala.
Rob Zettler.
Vesa Toskala is a good one.
Was Jamie Baker ever a Leaf?
I don't think Baker was a Leaf, no. Well, just tune in to find out who it is. Let them do the work. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. Again, no Austin Matthews tonight. It's amazing what 20-10-1 will do for you, and being in the worst division in the league will do for you. Because this time last year, if Matthews was missing games, people would be in a full-out panic. And I'm not, no one's happy he's out of the lineup. No one wants to see him out of the lineup. No one would obviously believe that they're a better team without him. But they do happen to be 5-0 when he's been injured. And I don't know if it's going to come to a head tonight, but 20-10-1, you bank that many points, they're 9 up on anyone else in their division. Like,
we're
that's a great buffer.
Yet. We're not going there yet.
No,
we're not comfy enough to go there yet.
No, I wouldn't be comfortable enough.
Because we've gone there before.
We
and
have.
I know it's a totally different regime, players, but they finished 9 out.
Here's what I am.
That's what we did.
Here's what I'm comfortable with.
I love how when we get burnt, we're always afraid to go back there, aren't we?
Yeah, you learn from your mistakes. Yeah. I'm comfortable that Florida, Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo will not catch the Leafs. The Leafs, if they spiral out of control, maybe they go the opposite way and catch them, so to speak, because they, for whatever reason, all
what
hell
was
breaks
Brian
loose.
Burke's famous line?
18-wheeler flying off a cliff. But those teams aren't going to go on such a hot streak that they catch up to Toronto. Boston's got 4 games in hand. They're 9 back. They've been playing really well recently. The Leafs are 11 up on Montreal. They've both played 31 games.
But just think about this. That means Montreal has to win 6 more games than the Leafs the rest of the year to get 1 point ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that. And people go, oh, yeah. No, that's really, really hard to do.
That's right. Why when some of these players are going on in their interviews, oh, there's lots of time left. Really? Yeah. Is there?
I'm with you, Jeff.
Like Connor McDavid, I love the kid, but there is not that much time left for what you have to do to get yourself back into a position.
Exactly.
You're tough.
Well, yeah, you look at it. The wild card, the second wild card in the West is Calgary at 34 points, and Edmonton's 8 back.
I do a daily projection. Today was 93 points in the West to make the playoffs. So go figure out how many wins that is for the Edmonton Oilers.
Do the math. It's a lot.
Well, it's a lot. Just look at their winning percentage currently and then what their winning percentage has to be.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it almost impossible.
Yeah. Well, and based
maybe
on
not
who
impossible,
they are.
But it makes it improbable. Highly, highly improbable.
Based on who they are as a team.
Yep.
Also, you know, there's a lot of guys who had very good years last year that just are not replicating
that. That's right.
Dreisaitl's not doing it. Patrick Maroon is not even coming close to 30 goals.
Nope.
It's not going to happen. Cam Talbot, even though he was injured prior to that, was not playing well enough.
Klefbom's picked up his game the last couple of weeks, but he's not at the same level. And I thought he was ready to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even at the same level
right.
He was last year.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem. How many guys are all of a sudden going to just decide, oh, now I'm going to have a career year over the next 50 games?
Get in the hot tub time machine and turn back the clock for last year. Not happening.
Doesn't happen.
Well, no, I was just quickly, they were saying the other day that, like, you know, Nathan Walker's been a real nice addition.
Pick them up off waivers.
That's exactly where they are as a team when you start to celebrate waiver
picking up off waivers. All right, final hour up next. Steve Phillips live from the winter meetings. Is Manny Machado potentially on the move in Baltimore? We'll talk about that and Bobby Mack as well in the junior camp, and we'll tee up the Leaf game tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.